Hello, listeners. This is Kevin Andrade, immigration reporter for the Providence Journal. On Friday, August 3rd, 2018, I had the opportunity to sit down with Nobel Peace Prize laureate Dr. Rigoberta Menchú Thum, who is in town to speak at the Guatemalan Center of New England's annual fundraiser. Born on January 9th, 1959, Menchú grew up impoverished in the Guatemalan department of El Quiché as a member of an indigenous Mayan community. Experiencing extreme poverty, she became active in Guatemala's largest labor union at the time, the Committee for Peasant Unity, or CUC, which was heavily persecuted by the country's right-wing dictatorship. Her parents and two of her brothers would go on to be killed as a result of fighting during the Guatemalan Civil War of 1960 to 1996, which included a genocide against Mayan populations in which almost 33,000 were killed by government forces. In 1981, she would go into hiding and would eventually be interviewed in Paris for the book I, Rigoberta Menchú, An Indian Woman in Guatemala, which would be published in 1982. This was, of course, after teaching herself Spanish so as to be able to connect with the world outside of the Maya Quiché community more effectively. In 1984, she fled from government forces and continued to lead the CUC from Mexico. Her work has focused on bringing attention to the rights and traditions of indigenous communities in Guatemala, as well as the rights of women, indigenous as well as Latina. For her work, she was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize in 1992. And is now a researcher at the National Autonomous University of Mexico in Mexico City. This interview was conducted in Spanish.
Dr. Rigoberta Menchú, muchísimas gracias por estar aquí con nosotros y para tomar su tiempo.
Dr. Menchú, thank you so much for taking the time to out of your busy schedule to sit down and speak with me today. To begin, my first question for you is, how does it feel to be here in Providence?
Muy contenta porque estamos primero aquí.
Very happy because first, we are here with the committee of the Guatemalan Center of New England. This center really is stimulating the qualities and abilities of young people, of Guatemalans and of immigrants. We are familiar with their work, and to be here with them is a great opportunity. But also the city, because I've been familiar with the trajectory of Mr. Jorge Elorza, and I think it's also an opportunity to exchange experiences. We've had a marvelous meeting with many community leaders, and we wish them much success. So we came here with a lot of happiness and enthusiasm.
Así que venimos con mucha alegría, con mucha emoción.
You said in earlier comments at a ceremony with the mayor here in City Hall that you felt it was necessary to come to Providence when you received the invitation. Why?
Desde que recibimos la invitación nos alegró mucho porque significa venir a hacer contacto con una comunidad.
Yes, we were very happy to receive the invitation because it means coming to make contact with a well-organized community. Not only coming to see what we find, but coming to see an organized community, coming with an organization like the Guatemalan Center that works to recognize leadership, to recognize the values of people who have fought for the community, who have had achievements, but also for the expectation that young people could strengthen the relationship between the Guatemalans that are here and the Guatemalans in Guatemala. I think it's that feeling of having a common identity. It's something that makes us very happy. Of course, the region is much larger here. There are many more nationalities, and because of that, there's the message here of valuing diversity and the successes of women and of diverse people with their own identities. And I think the ideas and also recognizing the work that you've done here is a great honor for me as a Guatemalan woman, but also as a Nobel Prize laureate.
Honor para mí como mujer guatemalteca, pero también como Premio Nobel de Paz.
In your book, you speak about your life before activism. You speak of your annual trips to the plantations as a child. You also spoke about the concept of a Nahual, although according to your tradition, you can't speak much about that. You also spoke about the traditions involved with corn and about an incident in which your mother was involved that inspired you to become an activist. Could you speak a little bit about your life before activism so that those who may not have read your book can get an idea?
Sí, es bastante triste que a mí me tocó la violencia muy cerca. Cerca porque Primero, el secuestro de mi hermano Patrocinio.
It's quite sad that violence has touched my life very closely. Closely because, first of all, the kidnapping of my brother, Patrocinio, who even now I have doubts of where he is. We know he was tortured, but the most important thing for me is to find his remains, to give him a dignified burial. It's to say that in all of the holy days I can go to a cemetery and speak to God. There's also the death of my mother. For me, she isn't dead. She's alive and is one of the disappeared people of Latin America. This year, she would be 91, and I'm looking for her. I'm still looking for her in common graves in any place where she could possibly be found. But I can't give her up for dead, because for me, she's alive. I can't say that she died because I don't have any evidence that says she's dead. And so, that pain of a disappearance, that isn't something that's foreign to me. Also, my father, who was burned in the Spanish embassy on the 31st of January in 1980. All my life, I've cried for my father. I've looked for the truth. I've accredited the truth. 2 years ago, I won a judgment that indicates the legitimate truth of my father. With that, I had to quiet many people who said that I was a liar. Even in my book, I said that my father could have been burned with white phosphorus or lethal chemicals. I proved in a Guatemalan court that my father was not burned with kerosene, but he was burned with other chemicals that destroyed his internal organs. All my life I've been working, but the pain of losing a family member, uncles, cousins, brothers, of being left without their support and survive these 38 years of my life, really for me has been a blessing, because I'm alive. But it's also a blessing because I've told my story. I haven't kept the truth only for myself, but I shared it with many millions of people around the world. My life has always been full of many dangers. I've been involved in very bloody and painful peace processes, painful cases of human rights violations, for example, the abuse of women, the sexual assault of so many children. I've had to hear their testimony. I've come into contact with the most sensitive parts of humanity. And because of that, I feel that all of us have feeling. There's no person in this world that doesn't have feeling. And because of that, my mission is to touch those feelings. There's no reason why someone should be offended because they don't understand another person, or because they don't like their skin color, or they don't like their gender. In these times, the fight for ethnic diversity, gender diversity, and generational diversity is so important. And we can create a more sensitive world. I believe in what I do.
Género y la diversidad generacional es tan importante y podemos crear mundo más sensible. O sea, yo sí creo en lo que hago.
As mentioned before, there's been a family separation crisis at the southern border of the United States. What do you think of this situation? Do you think that there are other ways to manage immigration to this country?
Sí, en primer lugar, yo creo que la indignación por esos hechos, por confinar a los
niños
en un centro,
violar sus derechos. Yes, first of all, I think the indignation over confining these children in detention centers, violating their human rights, separating them from their parents. I imagine if it were my child, if they ever separated me from my child, it's inhumane, it's cruel, and for that, the anger is very strong, and we've expressed ourselves condemning these acts because we're sure that it's not a humane act. It's an insensitive act, but that general condemnation, maybe it doesn't reach the public officials who make those decisions, but one day they'll be elderly, one day they'll be disabled, and one day they'll realize that they don't decide for this world, because the world is going to decide for itself. So I think time will punish them. I hope there's a creator also who will do that. Now, we also have to call on the institutions for human rights to act directly. One of the institutions that never acts in favor of immigrants is the Organization of American States. What happens with the Organization of American States if all these kids are Americans? The children are from Latin America. They could be Salvadorans, they could be Costa Ricans or Guatemalans, but the point is that there is an organization of human rights for Latin America, which is the Organization of American States. So why doesn't it act? Second of all, why doesn't the Inter-American Court of Human Rights act? There is a regional court that could regulate the politics of every country in Latin America. And in Latin America, I also include the United States, because the United States is also America. I also think it's an alert to all families, I earnestly ask all of the mothers of the planet to never let their children be exposed to these types of situations, because those kids who are humiliated today, tomorrow they're going to be adults, and tomorrow we're going to ask them to respect all of our lives and the lives of all of our children. So if today we are insensitive to them, they could be insensitive to everyone else tomorrow. So it's precedent that no one wants to turn into hate, anger, or trauma against other people.
Que nadie desea que se vuelva odio o se vuelva rencores o se vuelva trauma contra algunas otras personas.
As you've seen here, there are several civic leaders of Guatemalan descent, Latino as well as indigenous. These include the mayor of Providence, Representative Shelby Maldonado, and Teresa Guzman Stokes, as well as others. Do you think that this is a step forward for Guatemalans in the U.S.? Do you have any counsel for them?
Bueno, en primer lugar, es una felicitación y un reconocimiento.
First of all, it's congratulating them. It's recognizing their trajectory, because to triumph in the United States, or anywhere, in politics, takes immense effort. It takes very strong dedication. I want to congratulate them from an academic perspective, because I'm sure it was difficult for them to get to those positions. I congratulate them for their boldness, for their constant militancy, because getting to those positions takes a permanent militancy that symbolizes a life dedication and conviction. I also want to express my hope that these people who have triumphed know that they are the example for many millions of others who have to be able to occupy their political space, their economic space, their cultural space, and also their human space in leadership. I hope they never lose their humility, because people who triumph think that they were chosen by God and they don't think about their public. But I hope that they never forget their social mission. And I think that they are examples of a social mission. And I hope that everything each one of them does benefits the young people, because the young people are the ones with the most opportunity to triumph in life in the future. So I want us to do a lot for our youth, because they are going to do better than we have. Whatever we did, the young people are going to do better. So if we want our young people to do better, whether they're women or men, we have to give them a lot of advice. We have to include them on our team. We have to surround ourselves with the most talented youth so that they can continue forward. It isn't enough to be a woman to respect the rights of women. It isn't enough to be indigenous to respect the rights of indigenous people. We have examples in the world of immigrants who want to oppress other immigrants. We have examples of women who want to oppress other women. So it means more to be a human being, woman or man. Most importantly, I want them to be people with a lot of sensitivity and feeling.
En primer lugar, debe ser una persona con mucha sensibilidad y con muchos sentimientos.
We have time for two more questions. According to the Ministry of Foreign Relations in Guatemala, there are 22,000 Guatemalans in Rhode Island, of which a large amount are of indigenous descent. I don't know if those numbers include undocumented people. And in your book, you spoke of your childhood as well as the 70s and 80s when the genocide was happening in Guatemala, and of the difficulties that indigenous people experienced just to survive, as well as their lives of near slavery working on plantations in that country. Indigenous people here have told me that they face many difficulties here as well. Has the situation for indigenous people gotten better in Guatemala? What parallels or similarities are there with their situation here?
Bueno, primero en Guatemala hay algunos avances, pero también hay retrocesos. Porque en los años 80...
Well, first of all, in Guatemala, there have been a few advancements, but there are also setbacks. Because in the 80s, technology hadn't advanced, communications hadn't advanced, conditions were more precarious. The situation was terrible for the indigenous communities. Now, technology has advanced, but there are conditions that are exactly the same as they were in the 80s. For example, the abandonment of the countryside. For example, the quality of education, which isn't education, it's acculturation. The marginalization of indigenous communities in the making of these decisions is brutal, and it was in the 80s. Maybe in the 80s it was also accompanied by repression, killings, massacres, genocide, torture, disappearances. That was the most serious. But the abandonment of the countryside continues today. Racism and discrimination is brutal in Guatemala. If you go to a neighborhood that's not indigenous, you feel so despised that it's better not to do it. But if you go to an indigenous part of the capital, there's a chasm between the two worlds. There's no connection between them. So the integration of mutual respect in Guatemala is still a problem, and not to mention the opportunities. We always try to offer higher education in the areas where there aren't universities. We give students an opportunity to study a university curriculum from locations where there aren't universities. But the criteria that the bureaucrats in higher education are bringing to their curriculums in the countryside leaves much to be desired. And because of that, many young people don't even have the opportunity to dream of graduating from college. That is racism. That is discrimination. That is denying indigenous communities the possibility to move forward. The beautiful thing about Guatemala is that today, what were the secrets of Mayan culture in the past can be shared. For example, the essence of the Mayan calendar, our sacred calendar for whoever wants to follow its rhythm, it will change their life, it will change their perspective on society, and it will change their notion of their own personal value. It's a calendar that teaches you a lesson for life, not a lesson for theory or memorization. I think that there's no limit to moving forward. It's a matter of our youth not getting lost in this turbulent moment of lost identity. Because if they deny your identity in the state institutions and you want to help better your community, it creates confusion in the minds of our young people. And what happens is they lose their identity. If they don't have identity, who are they? Because they're neither accepted there nor here. So this is what many adolescents in our population suffer from. But there's nothing we can do except that they must look at their identity and know who they are and value who they are. Here, I haven't done a tour, but I would like to do a tour of the diverse cultural communities, because cultural diversity is here. I imagine that if here there's a population of my Mayan brothers, surely the diversity is very, very rich. It's flourishing, it's strong, because we know how to live with diversity. I can learn English, Italian, whatever I want, but I also have my Mayan language. That part is very beautiful because we are bilingual. In Guatemala, the vast majority of the Mayans are bilingual. We speak Mayan Mam, Mayan Quiche, and Quechi, but we also speak Spanish. And so here, they would have to be trilingual because we'd have to speak English too. We are fascinated by languages, but our identity makes us happy, it makes us free, and it makes us intelligent.
Pero la identidad nos hace feliz, nos hace libres, y nos hace inteligentes.
And that's for everyone, not just the Maya, right?
Para todo el mundo.
For everyone, yes, for everyone.
This has been a fascinating conversation. Before we finish, do you have anything else you'd like to add?
Primero felicito la comunidad guatemalteca. Ojalá que siga organizada, que se quieran a sí mismo, que se valoren.
First of all, I congratulate the Guatemalan community. I hope that they stay organized, that they love themselves, that they value themselves, and that they project what it means to be Guatemalan and be from Guatemala and have Guatemalan identity. I'd also like to recognize the entire immigrant community, because we are the heart of it also. Every immigrant is at the heart of diversity. And I hope that they feel like that and that they shape their lives, their work and their behavior around respecting diversity, because we are diversity. And I hope that they take advantage of all of the opportunities, because every person that advances does so because they understand how to manage their opportunities. Not only, oh, they have to give me opportunities. No, I have to fight to look for that opportunity and make the most of it, including economic opportunities. We come from poor families. We don't know how to manage money, and when we have a little bit of money, we want to spend it today. But if we know how to manage our resources and opportunities, I believe we should be successful people. So I hope they follow that success, not solely based on wealth, but yes, based on money and the values and principles of life. And I think that combination is very important for all immigrants. I hope they don't lose their native tongues, their accents, because we're all different on this continent, and that they love their countries. They are fortunate enough to have two nationalities, two countries, and I hope they always connect with their hometowns, because our hometowns there are always evolving, and if they grow with their towns, sooner or later they will be able to serve those towns. I congratulate the young people who also seek out experiences. Experience doesn't have limits. You just have to take advantage of your opportunities to create an experience in anything, in managing business, in managing communications, in managing the administration of a municipality, or participating in politics. It's very exciting to see that we have a Guatemalan mayor. It creates a sense of pride in us, just like it would if he were Salvadoran or Argentine or from another place. It's an opportunity to exercise a public position and create change in our communities, including our towns of origin.
Público para cambiar a favor de los pueblos, incluyendo sus pueblos de origen.
Thank you very much, Dr. Rigoberta Menchu.